Lighthouse Studios on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Blind Handyman Show.
Yes, sir,
Bob. Welcome, neighbors. It's show number 180, November 21st, 2006. It's certainly nice to have you with us today. For an hour now, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. All, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, as always, Don Shaw.
Now, Mr. Tom, what are we going to be maintaining today?
That's the question of the day. But we can handle it if it pops up.
We can handle it.
And Don Patterson.
Yes, sir. Yes,
boy,
sir.
You almost didn't make it.
You were running close today.
Like the warden says, you're not late until you're late.
But we're certainly glad you made it. We really are. My name's Tom Houston. But here he is. Here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, Phil Parr.
Like you're not late until you're dead, right?
That's right. If I tell her I have an appointment at 1:30, if we leave at 1:29, she's not late, she says.
She goes by the time she leaves the house.
I guess.
Luann's just late. I mean, she's just late to every place she goes. She's just late. And doesn't seem to bother her. She didn't, you know, you got 8:30 court, baby, and it's 8:20. Well, I'm going to have one more cup of coffee and cigarette. Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, I got to where I just, there's no point. It's not my problem. It ain't my baby, and I ain't going to rock it. Remember that? I guess not.
Yeah.
We have the window open. You could probably, the dogs will probably bark in a little bit. We're going to get some.
They will.
It was 28 degrees at 6 o'clock this morning in Lufkin, Texas.
Why do we have the window open?
I don't know. It was a little warm in here, and rather than turn the air on, I thought I'd have the window. You cool?
No, I was cool, getting a little cool outside again.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's nice in here.
It's not very pleasant. It was kind of warming up. I thought, rather than spend that money and turn the air conditioner on, I've got a great idea. I'll open the window.
The old Joe Rumor show up in Birmingham, Alabama, on the big Mighty 690.
Uh-huh.
He would raise the window. He had a sound effect that sounded like the window was opening.
Yeah.
And then he would holler to his neighbor next door, Mr. Whatever his name was, "What's the weather like out there?" And then this guy would come on and do the weather.
Well, I thought that was all for real, though.
It may have been for real, but I mean, I thought it was phony. But
oh, you thought it was just had a sound effect of a window raising.
Yeah. But who knows?
Who knows?
But 28 this morning, right?
28 this morning. I had no idea it was going
to
be that.
Because I was outside, I guess, getting ready to work at 9 o'clock, and I already took my jacket off. I had a long-sleeve shirt on, but it was no wind. Yesterday,
no
the wind.
Yeah.
But when it's calm, you can take the cold a lot better.
I can
take the cold a lot better than I can that heat. You know, I could stay outside with you in that cold and...
Yeah, I hearken back to the door-to-door salesman thing about he can find shade under the tree in the summertime, but you can't find a heater under one of them in the winter.
I'll take the heat. Makes sense to me.
I guess that's true, but we've had a really pretty good cold snap for Lufkin. I mean, it's been down in the 30s and 40s now for a week and a half.
Well, our winters for the past two or three have really been mild. So
yeah.
So I guess it's our turn. And it's, I think Dan Rossi said he was sleeting in up in where he is. Where is he?
In Pittsburgh. I read that yesterday on the list. Yeah.
Our little neighbors that live next door to us, and they're three, I guess they're sitting out on life's adventure. He took a job in Buffalo, New York.
Oh, man.
And so they were driving. The moving van came last Wednesday and Thursday, but I think they left Wednesday. He drove his truck, and she was driving her car and taking all the kids. So
are they Texans?
They are Texans.
That's going to kill them.
And, he was the procurer of gasoline, or sets the prices for Brookshire's. You know,
really?
His father-in-law.
I'm glad to be rid of him.
No kidding.
Well, and he's gone to work in the same bit for a family up in Buffalo that have 200 and something outlets in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and that's what he will do for them at considerably more money.
Well, I would hope so.
But
he sets the price. What does he base his...
I guess he buys futures, deals in the futures on the in the market. And then, you know, and the good part of that is they listed their house, and their house sold in 2 days for the asking price.
Wow. So that makes you feel you want to list yours,
yes,
right?
Yes, I've already mentioned that to the warden. Now's the time, probably.
Get that one-bedroom condo at Crown Colony where the, you know, when...
The beer girl comes by on the golf course.
Yep, yep.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
I would love it.
So how many are you having for Thanksgiving there, Don?
I don't know, and every time I think I get a break, like she was going, because I start complaining the week before. So,
oh, I know.
You got to get ready. And then she says, well, but they're leaving Friday. And I think, well, good, so they'll come Wednesday. No, wrong, they're coming this evening. See, you're going to get screwed on one end of it or the other.
So they're coming tonight.
And then also, instead of all coming together, I think they're coming in shifts. So I think I can see this happening from Tuesday to Sunday.
So you think you have to feed them tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely. Tomorrow and Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Goodness.
That's right. Well, you married a woman with 8 kids, you know. That's where it is.
Or something.
My wife has no kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for next. Good. That my next
wife with no kids?
That's
Would
right.
you want to give them an email address to apply? I guess not. Sure, we have no kids. We're going to, in fact, John Henry and Joanne's for Thanksgiving dinner. Not even having it at our house. It's one of the things I'm thankful for.
So y'all are going over there on Live Oak,
yeah,
right?
Going to Live Oak. We're cooking stuff over here, but that's all right. I'll clean up the mess, but I won't have any place to wash, just big stuff.
I think we're doing some kind of progressive thing. We're having the main meal at our house, and then we're going to somebody else's for desserts. And
is that right?
I might get them to drop me off at the sports shack or something if they're selling alcohol.
They'll be open, I'm sure.
Well, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are going to play Thanksgiving afternoon.
Yeah. Right. Well, how about the Aggies and the Longhorns?
Well, they're going to play on Friday, I believe. Yeah.
That's not as going to see they losing to Nebraska like they did in the closing in the waning seconds.
Who?
Of
the
A&M.
Yeah,
they were leading all the whole game, and Nebraska came back and beat them in the last 28 seconds.
Really?
And so there you go. There you have it. But how about those Lufkin Panthers?
Oh,
man.
Is that a pro team in the making?
It was really, boy, Saturday, they just jumped on those poor guys. They had the third string guys in. They had girls in last quarter.
I believe they could beat the Houston Texans. honest to God, I think that we ought to challenge them to
the Houston Texans.
Scrimmage.
Yeah, Lufkin won 71-14 or something Saturday. I didn't know what my God, it was just, you know,
Well, an outlaw asked the coach as a courtesy, did they want to run the clock in the second half and not stop it for any reason? Like now it stops for incomplete passes.
Yeah.
And the coach wouldn't do it. So he said, you know, I'm not going to ask my kids not to go out there and score. I mean,
you can't do that.
Well, they had sophomore kid in as quarterback at the last, really, and he scored.
Well, and Judge White's son was doing the kicking, field goals,
did pretty good. So the Lufkin Panthers will be on, let's see, if you want to listen to that game, you can listen to it. Can I say this, Houston, without instructions? Can I say this without getting sick?
You can
listen to the Lufkin Panthers game Saturday afternoon, I think at 2 o'clock on KYBI.com.
KYBI.com
on the web. You can listen to Lufkin Panthers football.
The voice of the Lufkin Panthers.
Voice of the Lufkin Panthers. Yeah. Stephen Walker.
Out on, he was out on work
release. Work release, I think, last time. God. What a bunch of fools.
Do we know anything about paneling?
A little bit. Pat does. I can see in his eyes.
This guy says that this winter he plans to begin refinishing his basement. Uh-huh. All walls are going to be in paneled. Is there any kind of special nail one should use to attach paneling to studs? Is there any kind of electric or pneumatic nail gun for this purpose? Any help is appreciated.
Both.
Ed.
You could either one would do. Pneumatic or Don has a little electric nail gun. He'd put up
paneling.
Perfect for paneling.
Seems like to me it would go right through the little thin paneling.
No.
Well, if you set the depth of it, I had to purchase a new nail gun here last week. I dropped my old one off of the ladder and broke it. Now, it has since been repaired. They called me this morning, in fact. And so I have two, and you can adjust the depth. And on that paneling, you would want to sure have a flush nail.
But if it's pneumatic, you just don't kick it up to 120 pounds.
But you can also adjust it from the gun, not the air pressure. You have a depth setter. Do a couple of test patterns, and then depending on if your paneling is in the groove, has grooves, or you would want to shoot in that groove. However, at the risk of being obnoxious, and many people do it, one application of liquid nail is for paneling. You just put a little dot on the back where you might put a nail, and you'd have to have it all cut and ready to roll out. But you could use that.
Well, it's 4x8 stuff, and usually meets the stud, So you could put it on the studs. You wouldn't have to put it on the panel.
If he's in a basement, I'm wondering if he's putting it over an existing wall, and then that may be a problem. He didn't say. He said the basement, but he did not say whether it was an existing, like,
because he wouldn't be able
plaster.
To didn't say no, wouldn't be able to see the studs.
Well, if it's plaster or something, you're going to have a different kind of nail. I don't know if he's going into drywall, but you're going to have to find those studs to get your nail, and you might even want to use a little longer nail than you normally would.
And if you didn't find the stud, then if you're doing it to sheetrock, you could sure as hell use liquid nail.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and they may make a special nail for paneling, a very lightly ring shank nail. They make it for sheetrock, a little ring shank nail.
Probably do.
So you'd ask.
Don Child's electric nail gun would put up
would
all
be perfect,
and it's you don't have to buy air compressor. It was what $39.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'd be great for paneling.
No, it'd be perfect. All right.
Little nail heads, that would be just, would hold it fine.
Well, tell me this. What do I need to sharpen an axe? I picked up one yesterday at Home Depot, but I don't think it's that sharp. Should I take it somewhere to have it sharpened? This is a guy named Gene.
A file.
I've never been very good at that.
That's the answer,
but I've never been able to get the right angle. I know Mr. Young showed me in Boy Scouts how
to
do it.
That's the trick, right there.
Is getting that perfect little angle,
Yeah, just a real mild file or a big, what do they call them, a whetstone or something like that. But if I really wanted and was really fixing to put it in action, I would take it to my nearest lawnmower shop.
Who would sharpen it perfectly for you?
Probably for $5
or less. Yeah. Would knock it out just perfect.
And it would stay a long time.
That's right. So.
That makes sense to me.
All right.
Okay, here's a guy that he just received what looks to be a pretty nice vise from Harbor Freight.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The manual was so detailed in how to operate a vise, it was sort of humorous. They failed, though, to mention the right size bolts to use to mount the thing, which would have been more useful than saying, or rather knowing, you turn the handle clockwise to tighten it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I plan on using my trusty drill index to measure, but was wondering if any of you had a better suggestion that doesn't cost an arm and a leg. This is Bill Stefan.
Well, I don't know. What's he talking about that costs an arm and a leg?
He wants to know how to determine the size of the bolts that mount the vise to the,
I don't know.
The base of something.
Gee, if you have to ask that, you don't need a vise, Bill. what's the optimum size? I bet it says in the manual somewhere what size holes those are. But you could, I don't know.
Imagine in the vise, they're probably slotted. And I never did figure that out. That's so you could slide it one way or the other or move it. But
really?
You could still, if they're round holes that you're going to be going through the vise and then into your table, take your drill bit and see which one will fit in that hole.
And then
go buy
three bolts that size.
Or if it did not send you any bolts, just go.
The only thing I would say about mounting a vise, and I did this, make sure that when you mount the vise, it is far enough forward on your workbench that you can put something horizontal in it. I mean, something can hang down, like you can put a board it's hanging straight down. Because I didn't, and I'm gonna have to remount mine because it's too far back. You can't put it. You can put something crossways in it, but you can't
that
put something
sense.
The
you
other way.
Have it.
So make sure it's far enough forward that. But the size bolt, put a drill bit in there and go buy some. But that's cheap. You're not going to spend any money.
Well, Dale Levins had a little comment on it. It's something similar to what Pat just said. He says generally, I slip drill bits through until I find one about the size I require, then either identify it or bring it along to buy, always assuming the size is all that critical. For something like mounting a vise, something close is probably good enough, provided the vise won't creep.
I just looked in the junk box and found three bolts and nuts and bolted the damn vise on. What's the deal?
Well, like
it's
saying,
not, this isn't machine measuring.
And also, if you have to go, if you've got to go to the hardware store anyway, here, I mean, since we have our good Abney store, I would take the vice and say, "Hey, Jeffrey,
you just take the whole thing down there."
Well, what do you think, Jeff?
Yeah.
Well, I turned your phones down, Pat. I'm sorry.
Huh?
I accidentally turned your phones down. I thought I was turning mine down.
That's all right.
Are they good? That's good.
They're fine.
Yeah, just look through the junk box and find some nuts and bolts and do it, man. Okay. You'll love it. Trust me.
Okay, here's a guy who says, "Hi, blind handyman and handy women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a relatively new member to this list, and this is my first post to the group.
All right.
Uh-huh. My vision has gotten progressively worse all my life, and I'm now totally blind. During my lifetime, I have had to check the engine oil on a regular basis in agricultural equipment, excavating equipment, trucks, and small engines that I have owned at various times. Every time that I've checked the oil in any of these units, I've had to depend on a sighted person to read the dipstick. Sometimes this can create problems. It's not always a popular suggestion to invite your wife to interrupt her Saturday morning cake baking to step out to the storage shed and the pouring rain to look at the dipstick and the generator. Or what do you do when your 5-year-old twin grandchildren disagree whether the oil in the tractor is on the full line or the ad line? Finally, my question is, has anyone come up with any ideas for checking engine oil without sighted help?"
Yes, we had this before.
It's been an ongoing controversy.
We've had this before. Did somebody? We figured out how to check the depth of your butane tank, didn't we? We figured that out. What did we decided you blow in the tube and then you put it down in there, and then okay, we figured that out. But how do you do the talking dipstick?
Yeah.
Yes.
But
I don't know.
Folks say it will work. I mean, going like down slowly down with the tube until you get some bubbles, and then you'll know you're at the oil line. But then there was the controversy of measuring from the top to the bottom, or from the top down, or it just, and it should all be the same. But I don't know. It's been a big deal lately on the list.
Was there any?
Here's a guy that I thought had a pretty good idea here. He says, "Paul, I would try this. Take a small rat tail file, triangle file. On the dipstick, make a small notch at the fill mark and one at the add mark. You can fill this with your finger or fingernail. Of course, when you take the stick out to check the oil, you normally wipe it off with a paper towel or something and put it back in to see where your oil level is. You can gauge from the notches where the oil is when you fill for it."
Like they've talked about on the list, though, the problem is with that method is, though, it's hard to feel the oil on the stick.
Or it's hard to put your finger right where that mark is without getting it in the oil.
Yeah,
or, I mean,
and transferring it.
I think that would... I'm going to opt out for sighted help, just try to do it when it's not raining. Or maybe ask your neighbor's wife.
Or wait until she gets the cake in the oven and the timer on. That'll work.
I mean, I've thought about several things, like if you had a long, whatever it is that you put down there, unless it is a talking something or other, which I do not know of, it is a stick or a piece of metal or what have you, you're still going to have the problem of when you touch it, if you touch it in the wrong place and have
okay,
oil.
That's right.
Okay, if you took a thin piece of PVC pipe and you drilled, you got someone to lay it by the dipstick and you drilled a hole in it just below the full mark, and then you put it down in there and you blew in it, and if you got bubbles, it's pretty full, and if you don't, it needs oil. Thank you, Phil.
And someone,
you know, that'll work.
Was talking about
why
slipping.
Why won't that work,
y'all? Well, another thing, though, the reason why that may not work is on many cars and vehicles, the slot going down that the filler stick in is just big enough for the fill stick.
For the dipstick.
And it goes around kind of, some of them slant, even
they
in really curves.
Have seen those. They have weird shapes to them.
And
I've seen that.
And so I think we're back to, if you can't call on your wife, call your neighbor's wife.
Well, if they got the deal. That's right. Obviously, you've met my neighbor's wife. But here's the thing. They got this deal that you can put in a glass that you can tell when your wine glass is full and your water glass. So why can't someone make a talking dipstick. I see no reason that couldn't be done.
Someone even said something about putting a straw over the dipstick, but then seems like to me that would be ruled out. Like Pat said, some of them were slanted and curved and everything. But undoubtedly, they thought
it worked. The file mark would work because you're going to get oil on your finger. But
what I do not understand, unless it's the heat involved and everything, and it were, you know, my little Kubota tractor has a light that comes on when I get low on fuel, just a little light, which obviously wouldn't help a totally blind person. But suppose that was turned into a beep, which some cars like have a little beeping sound. Okay. I don't know why they can't do that in engine oil, and that doesn't help. I mean, I can't tell you how to do that, but I'm just saying that I don't
think it
could
be done.
Seems to me it could be far off.
If somebody wanted to do it, you know, I can't believe nobody had a real good answer. We need to talk to the guy at Smith Kettlewell.
Tom might have some
Tom Fowle. They might have some idea on how to do that. Maybe maybe after first year we'll call him and see if he.
I think we should do that.
Really good ideas. All right. We are going to take a break and call our guest. And our guest is Felix. What's Felix's last name?
Felix Bannon.
Felix is a guitar player from California that I ran across when we were out in San Francisco at Fisherman's Wharf. He was there playing Stevie Ray Vaughan stuff and doing it quite well.
Yeah.
And so I told him about the list, and before I got home, he and Janet were on the list. And we're going to call Felix and talk to him about guitar repairing, fretboard building, and general stuff like that. Hang on. Be back in just a minute. We've got Don Patterson, Don Shaw, and Tom Houston. I'm Phil Parr. Hang on. I guess you could plug your new list, Sean. We kind of
that is
amazing, isn't it? Huh?
It is, because I just talked to
you talked
guest,
to the guy yesterday.
No, today, in fact, this morning.
Is that right?
Like several hours ago.
And he knew the time difference.
Oh yeah.
Sure, because it's 2 o'clock.
Yep.
It's 2:30 out there. 2 whatever.
Yep. Well, boy.
Anyway.
Is it 2:30 or 1:30? Is he in California?
He's in California, so it's 2:30.
They're
2 hours behind us. So it's 1:30, right?
1:30.
Maybe he's not back from lunch yet.
Maybe y'all said 2:30.
No. We had the right.
You had the right
set up.
I'm just trying to give him.
I don't know what happened.
Well, I don't either. Go ahead and plug your new list there, Sean.
Well,
give him one more chance.
Tom, if you want to work on calling back again there, Sam, but yeah, you know, we of course started the Blind Handyman show and was going good, and just got to thinking. I was really kind of into email list back then, and was thinking about, you know, it'd be nice to have kind of a email list where folks could talk about projects and things that we talk about while we're doing the show, and got things together, and back then was a novice list creator, and just fooled around with Yahoo some and got things together and made a blind handyman list. And worked out well, had several people subscribe, and started talking about some projects. Things went along, progressed, got bigger and better. And now, as it turned out, for man, any kind of handyman, blind handyman projects that someone wants to work on, if you ask just any kind of question now about pretty much anything,
unless it's dipsticks.
Well, yeah, except for that maybe. But and we've gotten several answers on those. Even.
They'll get somebody on.
There's
the
just
answer.
Someone that yes, it's Tom. Will know something about what we're talking about at this point. We'll have some suggestions about whatever project you're doing. So.
Unlike listening to the show.
Unlike listening to this live show, where anything can happen. There it is, at any time.
That's amazing.
It is. It's really
so anyway.
Amazing. But anyway, getting on to, that was 4 years or so ago. And 4 years later, in talking to some people around, a student of mine and just several people, I got to kicking around the idea of why not have a list where women could talk about issues that affect them, household types, you know, things that they do around the house. I don't know, cleaning, just any kind of household product projects and tips and
so
things like that.
So basically, it's a female counterpart to the blind handyman.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a companion list to the blind handyman list, and I call it the blind handy girl.
All right.
List. And I almost canceled and had been thinking about this list for a while. And I said, well, I'll just go ahead and give it a shot. If it doesn't work out, you know, can always delete it. But got things going and advertised it in a couple of places. And, you know, I would have been happy, I guess, if four or five people would have signed up. But we had like, you know, 23 subscribers the first day. So,
and you've got 45 or so now,
and,
right?
And there's 49 now. So, yeah, so obviously maybe it's something that, you know, people want. People have said that they were glad that the list is there.
Yeah.
And it's a mild version kind of, you know, where we talk about chainsaws and different things on the handyman list. It's just sort of like a real tame version of the handyman list.
All right, how do you get on this
these
list?
These women are going to be talking about issues, I guess, that affect them and things that they want to do. Anyway, if anyone wants to subscribe to this list, send a blank email to blindhandygirl-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
blindhandygirl-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
That's right.
All right. Well, you got the time.
I'll get you on the list.
Because I'm fixing to stop until we get squared away here with guest guy.
I've got the time.
All right. Here we go. I'm fixing to hit the pause button. He's hit the pause button now. All right. The moaning of the train, the distant moaning of a train, seems to play an old refrain, but I'm all right. It's a rainy night in San Francisco. How are you, sir? What's going on?
Let's see. We got in this traffic jam on the way back from having lunch with a friend from Guide Dogs.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were down there and on the way back just, you know.
Just couldn't, just work.
We went back as quick as we should have been able to, but we're
yep.
back now. So.
But you're back now, and we're right to introduce Felix Bannon from California, sir. How are you? Glad to have you, and it's been a long time.
I know. Since we talked.
I guess you're still in San Francisco. You still playing that day job? That job in the afternoon out there at the Fisherman's Wharf? That you
no, were? I haven't done that. The person that I played with passed on, so we haven't. And I miss him, you know. Lee was a good guy, and it was fun those days playing out there. I had to find somebody else to go play gigs next summer out there with.
Yeah, because that seemed like a nice little, I don't know what it paid, but it seemed like a kind of a nice outdoorsy kind of a deal, real easy, not too much pressure on anybody.
No, I laid back.
What kinds of places you play these days?
Let's see. I live in Novato, California, which is about 20 miles north of San Francisco, in Marin County, and I play in a band called the Rhythm Doctors that plays anywhere from Santa Cruz, which is about 2 hours from here, to Lafayette and out that way, which is, 40 miles east of here.
Yeah.
And sometimes in the summer, we've been known to They'll play up in Auburn and, I don't know, other places.
Just wherever they'll have you, huh?
Wherever they get booked. You know,
wherever they do.
They get pretty good gigs, you know. One thing about it is, I don't think I've ever had a gig with them where I've seen less than $50 or $60. And I've seen some for a bit more, so.
Now, what kind of music do you play in this band? Is it rock, mostly rock, old-time rock?
A lot of old blues, a lot of jump blues and old blues, it's kind of interesting. It's fun, because it's like raw enough. It's raw. I don't know, I call it kind of raw blues, because the way the other guitar player plays is raw. To me, it's raw playing. You know, I'm just kind of schooled and try to keep it together. And Phil sometimes he'll get a little out there with it, and it's fun.
Well, I said, you know, they're asking where did I meet you, and I said, I met you at Fisherman's Wharf, and you're sitting there playing Stevie Ray Vaughan stuff.
Yeah, well, I, sort of.
Which is what you were doing.
Well, we were playing, but Lee himself, normally Lee doesn't play much blues either. We were playing like his originals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I was just kind of playing whatever came to my head to, you know, that made sense of what he was doing.
Which is the best way to play, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it you know, it's fun.
And not only do you play guitar, but you work on them. You rebuild them. Have you built any from scratch or?
Well, if you take like guitar parts and, you know, necks and bodies of electric guitars and put them together, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite guitar, in fact, the guitar that. Well, that particular day, I think I was playing a hollow body, wasn't I?
I don't remember. I didn't see it, and I don't know. I don't know whether you were or not.
I think I was playing the J. Tercer, but normally I play a red Stratocaster, a red Fender Strat, that literally the body is the only thing left that's Fender. The neck is an all-parts neck that looks like a Fender neck without the Fender logo on it, but it looks just like a Fender neck.
Uh-huh.
And the pickups are Seymour Duncan pickups, and you know, it's just the whole guitar is kind of one of a kind.
And you put it together yourself?
I basically did. I had somebody else solder the wiring, but
yeah.
You know, so what?
So what?
I just had
to
make it reliable. Okay. I haven't figured out a safe way to solder. Somehow playing guitar and soldering, the combination is a little scary to me.
Doesn't work, does it?
We've run across some guys who do it, but I never could. I mean, I can solder a big switch if it's got big fat connections on it. I can wrap the wire around there and make sure the wire won't come off. But as far as
I'll just tie it in a knot, hell.
I've done that. Lots of that. I've used lots of stuff and Scotch locks and wire nuts and all kind of things. But I can't solder. You're right, playing guitar, because if you burn your
yourself. You just kind of put yourself out of commission. In fact, even doing fret work, you know, you got to watch it. You don't smack your finger with a fretting hammer, or you don't cut yourself on a fret.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and then they'd say, oh, well, you're just being a wimp, you know, and I'm going, no, you know, there's a point where you got to, it's like I used to play beat baseball.
Yeah.
And batting was really hard on playing guitar, because batting, I mean, what are you doing? First off, you're swinging hard, you're smacking a ball, and not just trying to hit it, you're trying to, like, drive it. And then the concussion of bat-meeting ball and the bat, all the stress on your hands and arms, and then you're going to go and play guitar and play supple and play gentle. Come on, there's a conflict of interest here.
So you decided that you gave up your career as a beat baseball player for guitar.
Mm-hmm. I just said,
well,
you know, this
sounds
just,
like a plan.
You know,
more is the pity.
yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I understand. Because you got your strumming hand that you're wanting to play easy with. My rotator cuff on my right shoulder is going out. So I can play a while, but I can't play very long anymore. And pretty soon the world will be without me.
Oh, no.
That's all right. I don't mind. I'll sell all these guitars and get out of the business. But do you build guitars for other people or just you?
I fix guitars for other people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, generally, I suppose, if you know, someone wanted me to build one and they had a concept of what they kind of wanted, and you know, but in general, you know, just kind of fix them. A lot of times what I do is just align them and make them real playable.
I was curious about one thing on your little Strat that you have there, the neck you said was an all parts neck. I mean, so did you have to do any modification on the body of the guitar, i.e. cutting it away, or did the neck, was it interchangeable with the
fender? No, it was interchangeable.
So, and why did you do that? Lower strings to the frets?
Oh,
or?
That's an interesting story.
All right.
What happened, what happened there was an ex-girlfriend decided that, well, I told her I wanted the fingerboard flat, and we had unfretted this neck. And the neck normally has a bit of a radius in it.
Sure it does.
You know? Well, I wanted it flat. I went to go take my dog for a walk. She took the electric sander with 80 grit and kind of like took it down and took it flat to the place where it was concave, and it just went. And then we had to cut all the fret slots again, because not only did she like take it down in 3 minutes, but she took down like more than half the distance of the depth of the fret slot where the tang of the fret goes.
Yeah.
And there just weren't any fret slots left, and I come back in and I go, oh, my God. Oh, no.
She had ruined your neck.
There's a serious problem here.
When you said ex-girlfriend, I thought perhaps she had used it as a weapon or something.
I honestly thought that's what you were going to tell
us. I thought you were saying, you know, she swung it against the wall or something. So.
No, nothing like that.
Well, after she sanded, is that why she's the ex?
No, we'll just leave that alone.
What was she thinking? She thought she was helping you. She thought
she was helping me, but she took too much off, and then we had to cut all the fret slots again, because the only place where you could tell where there had been a fret slot was at the end, because she took a lot of the middle off, and it was just like too much. And the neck became to be skinny and anemic and weird. And
and I would have hated it. Fender made a little, because I play acoustic guitar, and Fender made a little, you probably saw these, back in the 60s, there was a little Fender guitar that had an acoustic guitar with that little bitty skinny neck on it. I hated the damn things. They were really, you know, an acoustic guitar, you want a nice, fat, round neck.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like playing on electric necks. You know,
well, sure. They're
really
easier.
Bother me. It's like my showmaster, you'd probably think that the neck on that was too skinny.
I probably would, because I'm not used to that. I'm used to a big, fat, you know, Martin neck.
But it's got big, huge frets in it, so that, like, you really can feel where you are, and you can really bend strings, and it really responds easily. And what is... Oh, Janet put the PV amp right up next to me on the bed, and I'm sitting here going, why?
So that that neck that this girl sanded, you just junked it?
Actually, I refretted it. Played on it for a year and said, you know what, the next time I find some neck I can put on this guitar that's better than this, is next going.
Yeah.
And the neck went.
You found one.
I found one. I went to a guitar show and I found this all parts neck on this other guitar, and it was so funny because they said, I said, oh no, they're going to want like $600 for this Strat. Oh boy, oh well, forget about this. But I said to Janet, ask them how much they want. They went $175, and they went $175. Sold! I couldn't say sold fast enough.
$175.
Well, something like that. Janet said it was $135.
And
I could swear it was $175, but...
Yeah, that's,
I found it because it was funny because then I heard these people, like this man and this woman, they're going, you can't sell that to him. That guitar is screwed up. He'll never get it intonated no matter what he does. He will go berserk. You can't sell that to him. And they had no idea. All I wanted was the neck. I could care less about the body.
You didn't give a damn about the body.
You know, I just wanted the neck. And so that afternoon, I pulled the neck off that guitar, and I put it on my guitar, and my guitar became instantly much happier.
Well, I mean, it's just four screws, right?
Yeah.
Those four screws in the back of that Fender neck.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And does it have a rod in it or not?
Yeah, it did. But the rod is on the, like on a lot of the new Fender guitars, the rod, the truss rod adjustment is down by the tuning pegs.
I know.
On this neck, it's down by the other end, by the... Where the neck of the
by the body of the guitar, the way
of
bass.
You take the neck off if you decide you want to, adjust the truss rod.
The way a Fender bass is.
Well, the new Fender basses aren't that way, but
the old Precision that I had the thing, you had to take the neck off, then adjust it, and put it back on.
Yeah.
Which always seemed just really dumb to me.
It is dumb. But all the new Fender guitars, all the new Squires, like Janet has a five string Squire. There's in this house There are no four-string basses. All of them are five strings. There's three basses in this house, and they're all five strings.
And they're all five strings.
One's a fretless, and two are fretted. One's a PV, one's a Janet Fender, and the other one is a Dean fretless.
I wasn't aware that she played.
Well, she didn't play, but she plays, you know, she has fun with it.
And, you're teaching her.
That's all I care about, you know, it's kind of neat. You know, maybe someday she'll, like, get real serious and play.
And play. Are you trying?
She's learning.
Are you teaching her? Are you giving her pointers and lessons? And?
Yeah, you know, I mean, every now and then I try to give her a little guidance here and there, and you know, but it's kind of funny to be in a relationship sometimes and try to teach somebody.
Know it. I've been there.
For some reason, some weird walls that can't, you know, she says, but you understand too much. I can't. I'm going, you know, well, then maybe you have to study with somebody else for a while. And then when you get to a certain point, then it'll make more sense.
I am teaching a girl on Monday afternoons. That's the first time I've ever done this, to play basic country bass. At least how to do four or five chord tunes.
Yeah,
and it dawned on me yesterday. I don't care what I say to her. If I was teaching Luann, I'd have to be real careful.
Yeah,
you know, under this girl is just a girl I know, and she and I are doing fine. She's had two lessons, and she's, you know, she's already wanting to borrow my damn bass. Take it on.
No, there's this woman named Diana who she's a physical therapist,
yeah.
And it was amazing because she used to come over, and I taught her bass, and within, like, three lessons or two lessons, she already got her right-hand tone to where she sounded almost professional, and she could actually play a little bit of stuff. She had really good right-hand tone. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, she almost had, like, mine. I was like, how did you do this?
Yeah.
And she said, I'm just doing what you did, and I understood what you said.
I think I'm going to have this girl up and going in four or five lessons. I don't think it's going to take long. She plays trombone in a band. Her father is a pretty good musician. Charlie Harris's girl.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And her father's a pretty good musician. All the people around in her family sing a little and play a little. So I don't think it'll take long. And it'll be good for her. She's just 20 years old, and she just figures this should kind of be an entree to meet people. And, you know, she wants to be a poor musician all her life. I can't. No, I wouldn't deny her that. Nobody denied me that. Did they? You know?
No.
She wants to be broke the rest of her life. It's her problem, not mine.
My mom always wanted me to be a keyboard player, but I said, you know what? I don't want to be lugging keyboards everywhere I go. And I like playing guitar, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was 11, I don't know, I started playing drums for a while.
Yeah.
And that was kind of strange.
Well, keyboard would definitely be the. I always thought keyboard, because all you got to do with keyboard is hit the note. With guitar, you got to make it and then strum it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there are two. I always thought keyboard would be, if you're going to learn to play something, keyboard would be the thing to do. Piccolo would be the ideal thing, I guess, if you wanted something small to tote around. Anyway, you keep pretty busy. You make your living playing guitar.
Pretty much. At least enough to have some extra money here and there.
Haven't had to resort to finding a day job yet.
No, I worked at Demo Masters playing people's demos for a while.
Yeah.
And boy, I tell you, some people would come up with these open micers, you know, that guys that write these songs, weird theory, and they just would.
Everybody wants to be Bob Dylan, right?
And you have to memorize this stuff and play it, and you know, they want it played a certain way, and you know, we finally had to resort to having like rules of how to put these songs together so that nobody went crazy.
So you were actually, what you were giving the task after these people submitted their song, you had to demo to play it.
Oh yeah.
It's like the old piano players back in the 20s when, you know, in Tin Pan Alley, New York City, you know, somebody would bring in a song and there was a piano player there to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, we had to play all the tracks, the bass parts, the guitar parts.
Goodness.
The drums, and there was a lot of, you know, basic people just, you know, they'd come in with these tunes, and that was that.
And they'd want to do a demo of it, so you'd lay the drum part first, and then lay bass and put it, piece it together like that, or what?
Well, we try to get like two or three tracks together at once, you know, get at least bass drums and a rhythm guitar or keyboard together.
Yeah.
So that it would, you know, it would work.
But the amateur songwriters are the hardest to fool with.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of doing this. Truck driver had written a little song called Truckers and Soldiers, and I got conned into doing it. I think I charged him $300, and man, it took me to, I did it, and I got one word wrong, so of course I had to go back and re-sing it, and then he went, could you do that without, no, I can't do this, is all you get for your $300, dude.
I don't like the tambourine.
And he got me, you know, he's mad at me, he wasn't happy, I wasn't happy, I just shouldn't, you know. Most people who come in, I tell them, you know, you're going to have to take it the way I do it, or we aren't doing any business. And so I don't get lots of jobs.
Yeah, it's a hard...
It know, is.
This place had a lot of clientele.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they had, like, you know, three or four guitar players and three or four bass players. Most of the guys could sight read, but then...
But not you.
Yeah, no.
You got to memorize that stuff.
So did you have to do your own recording, or was there an engineer there? I mean,
no, there was an engineer.
Okay.
So I didn't have to do that.
Man, that must have been. I guess that's the difference in living in a town of 30,000 and a town of a million and a half
true.
Or something.
That's true. We're 12 minutes or so.
About 12 minutes left. All right, sir. Well, what else is going on in your life? You worked on any good projects lately we need to know about?
Let me see. Well, there was an interesting leak in the hot water of our faucet, the sink faucet. You know, the line that goes up for the hot water.
Interesting leak?
Well, yeah, it's like all of a sudden we noticed that the floor in the bathroom was wet.
Oh, no.
And I had to find out why. It wasn't, like, way wet, but it was wet enough to go, wait a minute, you know, somebody didn't make that.
And you don't have, a dog, right?
You don't want bathroom floor to be wet.
No. So then we discovered that it was coming from leaking from the valve underneath the sink to the hot water.
Oh.
You know, from the line from the hot water side. And it's weird because all I did was I just decided to turn that valve a couple of turns and then it stopped leaking.
Yeah, that's
sometimes that,
sometimes that
work.
Works.
It'll work for a while.
For a while, yeah.
Oh, maybe. it may work for 5 years. You don't know.
You just really? Never know.
Nah, you never. Like, it's like the flush valve is in my bathroom, a little flapper valve that goes down and fills up the hole in the commode.
Yeah.
Well, I just it needs replacing. So yesterday I couldn't replace it, and I didn't want to be hear about it anymore, because every time, you know, Luann mentions it every day, Phil, we need to change this. It's leaking. Well, okay.
It's always joint effort.
Yeah. So I pulled it up, took a rag and cleaned it, and by God, it worked.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
You know, I just cleaned. I got, because there was no way I could get to the hardware store, and I didn't, if she brought it up again, it was going to make me mad, and I knew it. And it was, you know, so I just fixed it real quick. Of course, she hadn't said, oh, Phil, you fixed that. What a wonderful human being you are.
Yeah.
She hadn't said that. that hadn't been brought up yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, Plumber Felix, Guitar Man Plumber.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I didn't replace the valve. See, the thing is that to replace the valve, what do you do? Turn off all the water, the whole apartment, to the whole building?
You'll have to. Yeah. You'll have to get somebody to turn it off.
Yeah, and then I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to let the manager deal with that. I'm not going to mess with it.
Oh, no.
In an apartment where I was paying the rent, I would say, hey, guys, when are you going to get on this?
Or don't worry about letting his floor get wet, and then he'll fix it when you fall through to the neighbor downstairs.
Yeah.
Then
he'll,
the neighbor, so I'll land in his apartment.
Yeah.
Listen, next time we have a gathering, you folks need to come.
You guys do need
Houston.
To come
you,
to the gathering.
You talked about it last two times, but you haven't.
What happened is we had one more person in our household. So when we were going to plan to go, it just worked out that we couldn't.
We will brook no more excuses, Felix. Tell Janet we will have no more excuses. You need to come.
In 2 years.
2 years, sir.
2 years. Yeah, I know.
Which, start saving those bucks and you come on down.
Oh, it was not even a money issue. It was
I know.
Just having to deal with what was going on here and
extra
realizing
people.
That. you know, it's kind of an adult get-together, and it wasn't going to work.
Oh, it would have been all right. It would have really been. It would have worked out. We'll try it again in a couple of years, and we'll keep you posted, sir. Thank you much, and y'all be careful and drive safely.
That's right. And the quote of today is...
Uh-huh. The quote of today is...
Yes, the quote of today.
The court of today.
Oh, the court of today.
Oh,
what,
there it is. I heard it.
What court is that?
The court of today.
What court is that?
Oh, it's a, what is this? It's a, an A9th with a major seventh on the top. Yeah.
An A9th with a major seventh on top. My first favorite court is a diminished fifth.
A diminished fifth.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later. Thanks, Felix. You'll get it in a minute.
You guys take care.
All right. Bye-bye. That is your Felix Banion from of Janet and Felix out in California. You know him. If you're on the list, you know about him. They post all the time. We'll take a little short break and come back and figure out something to talk about. Hang on. Sir, you've got my word. You have my word on it.
Our little intros.
Our little intros we used to use?
Yeah.
I guess I could put those on CD and probably use them.
Well, when Tom Houston ran the board, we never were without.
There you go.
We never were without it.
That's right. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, people got to know us by name and stuff instead of number, you know.
Yeah, all these announcers.
I think they know you by name.
Now here's host number two.
Different voices we had.
I think they've got your number, Pat. I don't think you have to worry about
they
that.
They probably have that
all right.
number.
They do.
All right, well.
What?
Today, was out 9 o'clock this morning. Beautiful day, really. And it was cold last night.
Man.
The weather, after you get past 10 o'clock, the weather has been just clear skies, sunshine, and if the wind's not blowing, it's great.
Yeah.
And it's nice to get to kind of finishing points. And I've been doing the swimming pool pavilion now here for a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
I did the concrete 20 by 40. Got the
dog pen?
No, this is the swimming pool pavilion.
Yeah, I know.
All right, we got the, at the same time that I set the post, I mean, did the ironwork for this, I also did the for the dog pen, which we'll talk about later.
All right.
But anyway, so the swimming pool, got the concrete slab poured, the steel frame erected,
uh-huh.
had the framers frame the wood part of it with two little 9x9 rooms. One's a storeroom, one is a bathroom,
uh-huh.
unisex bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Brick man came, they have it bricked. I trimmed it out with the trim around where the brick meets kind of the wood that you hide all the cracks and everything.
Yep.
And then so today, we started day before yesterday, and we have put up almost 700 square feet of pine, beautiful pine ceiling.
Who is we?
I hired a guy, another little guy I've run across. In fact, the guy that did my iron work.
Okay.
Fancy this. You know, he's pretty expensive doing his iron work. He's a real pro, but he was kind of out of a job, and so he helped me do this for $12 an hour. And so you can't beat it.
Oh, yeah, that's the deal.
So,
really?
So $270 later, that was my payment to him. I have this beautiful pine ceiling. All the light fixtures are cut out. In fact, they're installed. The light bulbs are in the sockets.
Really?
Yes, it is all. We're going to trim it out tomorrow.
Oh, that's
little
neat.
Beautiful crown molding, and then that, and then we're. I'm moving over to the dog pen of which we speak.
And pour the concrete.
And we're going to pour the concrete, and then I'm going to be his helper. So I told him, I said, figure your labor plus my salary.
Yeah.
And we are going to put up a 29-gauged sheet metal ceiling. And this, it would be similar to a metal roof.
This is Emily's garage, right?
Emily's garage, the used-to-be dog pen.
Yeah, yeah.
My tractor. And anyway, I've also, unbeknownst to the warden, because she says when I finish everything else, I can have the music room. Well, anyway, he is calculating now how to build me to fill in the opening, the 16-by-7-foot opening when I take the garage door down. Well, it just so happens he deals in, like, these what they call glass rooms or sunrooms.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so the walls on those are 3 inches thick, all foam insulated with aluminum on each side, outer side, and then he can put as many windows in it as I want. So I want to walk through glass door, all glass door, and then I'll have windows all on the east side of the music room.
Oh,
we'll
yeah?
take the garage door down. So he's given me the price on that. So I hope to be in the music room by spring.
Is that what you're really going to do? Is she going to let you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm getting a nice couch and recliner, so when the kids come, I'll hibernate out there, and they'll never see me.
So she's solving a couple of problems, right?
Well, I'm solving the problem.
You're solving a couple of problems.
Yeah.
So you'll be out in your music room, and the kids will never have to see you.
They'll never
have to
worry
about you.
They can't get my... I'm keeping the beer box there, so they're on their own.
They're on their own.
They refuse to answer the door.
Oh, the beer box is out in the... Beer box is in the music room.
That's right.
Beer box in the music room, dude.
What a deal.
So and I have the 8-track recorder. It should be on its way somewhere.
Oh, you, well, I wish you hadn't done that.
Why is that?
What are you going to mix it with?
Well, I don't know. They actually make some recorder mixers together.
Yeah, I know. Is that what you bought?
No.
You hadn't bought that yet?
No.
Well, we need to talk about that. We'll have plenty of time here now.
All right. All right, so that's it. It's nice to get to a stopping point, and the ceiling is beautiful. Yeah, you should. We're going to paint it. We were going to stain it, but painting actually is better. Get some professional guy that really knows how to spray paint, and it will be just a class. It was just a real class act.
Yeah,
and it's done. And that's it's the good done, thing yeah. is it's done.
And the creativity. I put wall plugs up in the ceiling, like you want to build a shelf, put a TV up there. I have the wall, the plug right up above it in the ceiling, and the antenna coming out. So
that's good. And you're going to want a TV out there?
Speakers, outside speakers, yeah.
So you want a TV out in the?
Oh yeah, big screen for these big. Baseball
game. Well, you can't leave that out in the weather.
Well, no, I have a storeroom.
You have to roll it in the storeroom.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. They need to be kept in a, really need to be kept in a controlled environment.
Music room.
Music room would be great.
Right.
Now, the music room would be good. That would be a good place for that.
I knew you'd see it my way.
All right.
I told the warden.
We're leaving. That's it. Don Pat,
that's
Tom
it.
Houston.
Yes, sir.
Don Shaw. Thank you, gentlemen. Got a couple more to go for Christmas, and we'll be back next week. Happy, have a good Thanksgiving, everybody. That's a holiday I do. It's a holiday that's around the conspicuous consumption of comestibles.
Go Panthers.
Go Panthers. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. As he said to the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.